Nightly coronavirus update with Dr. Henry Nyman, Ph.D. So much in the headlines. News is up now. And again, if you don't have time to read much, just read the headlines. I urge you, just read the headlines. You'll come away with at least a reasonable handle on what we perceive to be reality here. Not the truth, because the truth is so corrupted now by so many people, it's not even funny. Donald Trump tells us the truth, for example. Jared Kushner and President Trump, President Kushner and Donald Trump are rated the least trusted leaders in America on the coronavirus disaster. That's a new national poll. And if you did miss it earlier, I'll repeat it. People are saying that Trump is going to delay the 2020 election. He cannot do that under the Constitution. He doesn't have the authority. All right? States are still baffled over how to get all of this boundless, limitless coronavirus medical and health supplies from Trump. They're not getting anything from the government. Never mind what he says. Nothing. And then today, and I didn't see it. I assume it was today, but I'm told that Trump played a video praising his actions. At his White House briefing, and says, this is a quote, "When someone is president, the authority is total." Does this sound a little bit like a dictator gone mad? Or a mad person gone dictatorial? There's a lot more there, tons and tons of it. Henry, it's been an extremely busy 3 days since we were last together, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 3 days. Welcome back.
Yeah, it's been a busy weekend and a busy day. Trump actually did melt down at his news conference today. There was an article that came out of the New York Times that said he kind of missed his cues as far as the pandemic was concerned, and everything was delayed.
You mean like he was 2 months late and did nothing? 2 months late? That's what he was.
Right. He did play a video today at the press conference, which was a campaign video, essentially. And he did say that he has the ultimate power or whatever, absolute power, just corrupts absolutely. And that's what you got there. I mean, it's not something brand new, but it was pretty clear today. Anybody that was watching her, I'm sure there'll be lots of highlights. It was fairly remarkable.
We call them lowlights, Henry, lowlights.
Yeah, that's being generous. It was pretty bad. But anyway, part of the reason he was so upset was because the New York Times kind of detailed his series of miscues and delays, as predicted, the U.S. did become number one in the world in deaths. As of tonight, the U.S. is up to 23,588 deaths, well ahead of Italy, which is second place at 20,465. And then Spain, 17,000. So big lead on both of them. And the U.S. has between 1,000 and 1,500 more deaths every day. So they are not going to catch the United States, number one in the world. Number one in the world on cases, well over 500,000, 583,000. And the leader every day today, there were 22,755 new cases. I don't think that's quite full. This table has to update with a few more tonight. But you know, it's usually closer to 30,000 after all states have reported, and that's well ahead. I mean, the numbers are starting to go down in Europe, and so the most cases today was actually the UK, which is due to their delay in issuing a lockdown, so they're kind of trailing now and have the most cases in Europe, any country in Europe, and they also have the most deaths. They're at 717 today. Italy and Spain do seem to have flattened and lowered their curve there. Spain had 419 deaths today, and Italy had 566. France is down there at 574. So the UK with Boris Johnson and the US with Donald Trump are the top two countries in the world as far as botching a pandemic and killing their citizens. But anyway, Trump was not at all thrilled with the New York Times, and he, you know, tried to kind of talk about, put the ban on Chinese nationals coming here, and which was late. And the main problem the U.S. has is not from China; it's from Europe. And a lot of sequences came out today, so I sent you some headlines for different states. The CDC came out with a number of sequences, and finally got sequences from Pennsylvania. There have been no sequences from Pennsylvania prior to this afternoon. They came out with six sequences, and all six sequences were the Italian strain, and they did several other ones. They came out with seven sequences from Iowa, and all seven sequences from Iowa were the Italian strain, and it just goes on and on. New Jersey, they came out with a couple sequences from New Jersey, and NYU had come out with four sequences previously, and Mount Sinai had one. And out of that series of four, five, six, seven, eight, out of the eight New Jersey sequences, seven of them are from the Italian lineage. And then NYU Langone came out, released 40 more sequences today. All but one of them were actually collected this month. One was collected the last day of last month. And those 40 sequences, all 40 of them were the Italian strain.
Okay.
And that's kind of, it's very widespread. It's four out of the six sequences in Alaska are the Italian strain. And Seattle, which was had that ORF8 strain, is now getting increasingly more of the Italian strain in the latest.
So it's not the ORF8 is not mutating. It's the Italian strain that's moving in and becoming dominant. That's what you're saying?
Right, right. That originally, just to back up a little bit, the first five sequences, that the first five infections in the United States, if you recall, the first one was in Seattle, then there was one in Chicago, then there was one in L.A., one in Orange County, and then there was one in Phoenix. Out of those five, four of them were the ORF8 lineage. They were slightly different than, each had a few differences, but they all had the mutation in ORF8 and the one upstream mutation. So those two kind of defined the lineage, and four of the five consequences were that lineage. And then that was the same lineage that became real dominant in Seattle. And so in Seattle, it added a couple more mutations, so it was very specific for Seattle. And virtually everything in Seattle was that orphate lineage. And then probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago, they started to get some of this Italian sequence to show up in Seattle. And then in the latest, they've been doing quite a few sequences. University of Washington's been doing most of the sequencing there. And they had another series that came out, I think, yesterday or the day before. And for the most recent one, which was a couple of weeks ago, is when there was collected, I think it was something like three-quarters of those sequences were actually the Italian sequence. So that's showing up at an increasingly higher frequency up in Seattle. And it's all over the place. It's really on the East Coast the highest. Like I said, the 40 sequences from Langone were all the Italian. Most of the sequences, the series came out for Massachusetts. Most of the sequences in Connecticut. There's only one sequence from Rhode Island. Most of the sequences in New Hampshire. All of these are this Italian sequence. And the Italian sequence is fairly widespread in Europe also, and that's the reason those various countries I read off with all the deaths there, they are all have a fair amount of the Italian sequence. There was one other sequence in Italy that actually showed up in Iran. And that sequence, the two of those sequences dominate Europe. So they've got both of those. But the second one is in the United States, but this Italian sequence is the one that's really taking over. So that's showing up at very, very high frequencies. But almost all of the sequences in New York are that Italian. The vast majority of the sequences all in the Northeast are that. And that it spreads out. Florida's about half the sequences are that, and the same for like Virginia, North Carolina. So it's very widespread. And the lockdowns have kind of put a lid on it. So it has kind of slowed things down for where that well, all of the viruses. So the numbers are starting to bend, flatten out, bend down a little bit, but they're still maintaining very high. So New York still has, up until today, they were around 700 deaths. They dropped down to 6-something today. So the death rate is still high, but it's not going up. It's kind of flattened out. The admissions were down a little bit. And that's mostly because of the social distance. And so the virus is still around, and this Italian strain is very widespread, and it's almost certainly going to cause problems when the start to ease on the social distancing measures. So as more people start to go back to work, I think they're going to try to, do it gradually, and they're going to try to put some controls on it. They would like to do testing. The testing's going to be iffy. One of the goals was to actually do antibody testing to find out who's been infected and who hasn't. And the antibody testing is not quite as easy as it could be because the virus is a coronavirus, which is a cold virus, and there are several other cold viruses that are much less virulent or lethal. And, a lot of people have been exposed to those viruses over their lifetime, so they have antibodies to these other cold viruses, like 229E or I can't think of the other name, the OC43. And then there's there's two, mostly childhood ones, HKU1 and NL63. So all of those are coronaviruses and they can't cross react. And so you could, if you're looking for antibodies, you have to have an assay that can distinguish between antibodies against those other coronaviruses and the SARS-CoV-2. And so it's a little bit tricky to be able to accurately measure that antibody level. So that test is certainly not ready in quantity. There are several different labs that are working on developing a test. And, they basically have to have some controls of people that have a lot of antibody to the other viruses, and so that they're not being picked up by the assay with cross reactivity. That's a little bit tricky because you got a little bit of everything in there. I mean, you're not separating out the antibodies; they're all in your blood sample. So when you take a blood sample, you've got new antibodies and old antibodies, and they're trying to use a different class of antibodies to help distinguish it. But the bottom line is, it's not really ready yet.
The other bottom line is, an antibody for a recovered coronavirus patient isn't necessarily a guarantee they're not going to be reinfected. We've seen this.
Yeah, well, there's issues as to what kind of titer there is. And, one of the problems when you have a new virus like this is that it may not be quite as efficient as growing in humans initially, and therefore the viral load might be on the lower side, and therefore the antibody response may not be that high. And then if the virus either gets more efficient at growing in humans or it just is at a higher concentration because some immunocompromised people got infected and they had a lot of virus and they transmitted it to somebody else and they started with a lot of virus. So the viral load just kind of goes up and then they transmit it with a higher initial viral load. So in any event, when you get infected the second time around, you might be infected with significantly more virus initially, and even though you've got some antibodies, that's not enough for the higher viral load, and so you get infected the second time.
Just overwhelms it. Okay, all right, we gotta let's do a little bit of other kinds of things real quick here. Trump has formed a new task force, and on that task force, as I mentioned earlier, he has put a raft of people. Certainly not a big surprise, including Jared Kushner and the princess. Is Trump now, which, by the way, I should add that he is being largely condemned around the Western world for his bungling and handling of this, or lack of handling of it, is Trump in a position now where he's not only have the horses run, but, I mean, it's game over. There's nothing much he can do now. As you pointed out a long time ago, this is here, it's out. So all he's doing is running his mouth, trying to make himself sound competent, I guess. We're really out. We have no leadership at all.
Well, this is his campaign. He can't do rallies because there's too much virus out there. So, all he can do is go in front of the camera each day.
He's giving himself airtime. I get it. I get that. But yeah.
A rally speech, right? And I mean, he actually did video today. Wasn't he actually ran a campaign ad.
Unbelievable. Just unbelievable.
And he said, well, you know, that looks like a campaign ad. Who put that together? Oh, I know, some of the guys here at the White House, you know, we got a whole lot more than that. We just did a little bit of it, you know, we've got a lot.
He actually ran the campaign spot. God.
There was no doubt that it was a campaign spot. And one of the reporters said, that looked like a campaign ad, which is illegal because you're not allowed to use government. No, there's laws against using, you know, government equipment and supplies and whatever to make a campaign ad. And I mean, it actually said White House on House staff or something up in the upper left hand corner as far as the credits for the, and it was clearly a campaign ad. You know, he had this governor saying thank you and that governor saying thank you. And saying how, you know, he acted decisively and he talked about what he did in January with the ban in China. And then he didn't say anything about what he did in February because he didn't do anything. And so he kept on pounding on this, you know, he kept, you know, China out and, and
so shutting down the Chinese flights in here, that's the only thing he can lay claim to. But it didn't do any good.
It was already late, and he kind of said, well, you know, he did this when, you know, before there were any cases in the U.S. or before there were any deaths in the U.S., but that was irrelevant. I mean, it was already clear that the virus could kill. There were already deaths in China. And it was just a matter of time before there were deaths in the U.S. And there actually were deaths in the U.S. They just weren't identified because he wasn't testing. Didn't have an assay. They didn't have an assay that worked well. The only thing you could do is send a sample to the CDC and get an answer back, you know, days or weeks later, too late to really help your patient. And the, you know, the screening didn't do anything. I mean, the first case in the U.S. was somebody who went to the doctor and told him his history. It wasn't somebody that got picked up at the airport or, you know, had some other identification. It was somebody that came forward themselves. And it's not clear that they, you know, kept the virus out, even though they identified him. They said they did contact tracing. But the virus that ended up showing up in the Seattle area was the same virus that was the first virus in the U.S. So, you know, there's a good chance that he infected somebody that they didn't identify when they did the contact tracing.
Correct.
And, you know, or alternatively, it wasn't him. It was a relative came, you know, from the same village and brought the same virus, but it wasn't a relative, but it was, I mean, it wasn't a contact of his in the U.S. It might have been a contact of his in China who, you know, came later and wasn't on the list of contacts, and they never, you know, they didn't have a chance to identify them.
I'm just appalled.
And in general, they didn't have a chance. I mean, the screening doesn't work. The you know, bans didn't really work because by the time he did the bans, they already had their own bans there. And his initial ban was for Wuhan. And by then, the virus had spread all over China.
5 million had fled Wuhan and were easily able to climb on an airliner and come over here. No problem, or anywhere else.
Right. And they weren't testing there. And then the big problem in the U.S. isn't even a problem directly from China. They're from Europe. They're
came in the back door.
This Italian right. strain, right? And they weren't even tested. It wasn't that they walked right through the airport. They kind of slipped in.
Yeah.
They were from Europe. They weren't testing anybody from Europe. The only people there, you had to be from China to get tested. Initially, you had to be from Wuhan to get tested. Then you had to be from China to get tested. If you were from anywhere else, including anywhere in Europe, including those that came in February, when it was very clear that Europe had a problem, and the problem was traced to Italy, and then subsequently Iran. And so Iran was a problem for the Middle East, and Italy was a problem for Europe. And they were exporting the virus worldwide. They were exporting to Africa. They were exporting to South America. They were exporting to North America, but only Mexico and Canada detected them because they were the only ones that would test for Italy. U.S. would not test anybody from Italy, so they had zero from Italy, but Canada and Mexico were able to identify them. And that virus, that strain, that particular strain from Lombardy, northern Italy, ended up spreading all over the world. So, I mean, it's just in sub-Sahara Africa, it's in Algeria, it's in Egypt. It's all over South America now.
It's
all over the place. And it's got an advantage. And that's why it's becoming at increasingly high frequencies. And it's all over the East Coast in the U.S., but it's not limited to that. It's just still battling the other virus that was here earlier. And, and that all came, Trump, was worried what that would do to the stock market if he put a ban on European travel, and so they delayed that. I mean, that was delayed until well after. When it was being identified in Europe, it was already here. People were just going to Europe if they were.
There's some suggestion that it has flying out of there. Henry, there's some suggestion that it actually was in California in as far back as November from some Chinese. It was not being diagnosed, not tested, so they didn't know. But that was the story that ran today, and it was fairly well written. Now, here's the other issue. The only thing that Trump is going to be remembered for is February 28th, when he declared that the coronavirus was a Democrat hoax. February the 28th. Don't forget that. All right. MSNBC legal analyst Glenn Kirshner has stated that President Trump should be prosecuted for negligent homicide over his response to the coronavirus outbreak in the United States. I think a lot of people would support such a move. This man has been more than a disgrace to the presidency. It's beyond belief what he has done, in my view, with this virus, this crisis.
He did it at every level. I mean, he did it not acknowledging it initially, then saying it wasn't anything to be concerned about, then saying it was a hoax, then even after managing the national stockpile, reserves, it was just a
what
joke.
Reserves?
I mean, he wanted total control over it. He went and was competing with the states. Then he said it was all their responsibility, and then it was their responsibility to go and implement the blackout.
He's telling the governors now that they cannot lift the lockdowns unless he okays it. He said today, when this is a quote, everyone, when someone, you got to see this, I didn't, when someone is president, the authority is total. Does this sound a little dictatorial?
Right.
Just a little?
Right. So, I mean, he's been dictatorial since he was born. I mean, this isn't new. He just has a lot more power.
That's funny. That's a great line. You're right.
Yeah. So, it's difficult because if you look on a map, I mean, we're about as far away from China as you can get. I mean, we've got oceans on both sides.
Yeah.
And it's, it's literally halfway around the world. I mean, they're like 12 hours away. So, I mean, it's as far, the far away as you can get as far as, traveling. And we've got the most cases. We got the most deaths. We've got probably the most Italian strain now. And we've got, it's just totally out of control. And then, you know, it's just going to be bad because Trump's going to want to, lift the lockdown as quickly as possible. And, some of the governors, they do have the power. What he's going to declare, who knows what, if they don't lift it quick enough.
He has to declare martial law, martial law to stop them.
But it's going to bounce back. I mean, it's not even going to have a chance. It's not even going to have a chance to die down over the summer because it'll be roaring back in May. I mean,
you think it may come back May or June?
Seasonally.
That's interesting.
I think it'll come. It'll just bring back as soon as they start, easing up on the controls. The virus is very transmissible. And, right now it's down a little bit because everybody's inside. You're going to get everybody outside and you get everybody going back to work.
This is important. If he were going to do this, at least he should give every American who's going back to work or back out there a supply of N95 masks. He's not even doing anything like that. He says, cut your T-shirts up like the Pentagon told the troops to do, or wear a bandana.
If it fails at every level. He can't get the PPEs. I mean, CDC was talking about a shortage of PPEs at least 6 or 8 weeks ago.
Correct.
And, that was time to go and order these companies to, it's not that hard to make a mask. And it's not that hard to make the gowns. Yeah. And I don't know. There's something.
They're just paper suits is all they are. Come on. It's easy.
Well, it's the stuff they put on the outside of buildings to Tyvek. Whatever it is. And
Tyvek.
And so I think there's a, it's a shortage of it. And I'm not sure why they're limited to one, type of material to do that, but for whatever reasons, there seems to be some type of
some business reason for it. There are other materials that would work.
Wow. Right. But there's something, with the supply chain and, that's what pandemics do. But I mean, there were plans for this. I mean, the idea was that there would be a pandemic and could that be at different levels? And they had contingencies for the different levels. And this, so far, is not at the highest level yet. I mean, we may see that in the fall. The fall may make the spring look like a walk in the park. Yeah, this is typically, the Herald wave is the wave in the spring. The severe outbreak is in the fall. Because it takes a little while for the virus to adapt and a little while to get it, escape the immune system. And then the virus gets to be real homogeneous because there's one variant is very good at at infecting humans and very good at evading the immune system. And that what ends up, spreading like wildfire and causing significant problems. And it's like everything's depleted now because not only is the U.S. hit hard, but Europe was hit hard. And now it's going, it's going into Sub-Sahara Africa and it's going into South America. So even if it is seasonal, it's going to be fall and winter down there pretty soon. Fall now.
Right. That's exactly right.
And so the virus is going to do well, and it's probably going to do, very well because they're not going to have PPEs down there, and they're not going to have the infrastructure, and
no.
They're going to have all kinds of issues with the
virus.
They're
totally vulnerable. Argentina was shut down a week and a half ago. The whole country locked down. And they don't have any preparation materials for this at all. Very, very.
Yeah, and they're going into winter.
That's right. It's fall down there. That's right.
Right. So they're going to be hitting their peak, just for, I mean, even if the coronavirus isn't that different, it's going to be harder to identify because it's going to be all of these other respiratory diseases. There's going to be flu. There's going to be other upper respiratory diseases.
Sure.
And so people are going to, everybody's going to have symptoms regardless of what they have, which virus they have. And so it's a lot harder to make the diagnosis. The coronavirus is getting increasingly easy to diagnose in the northern hemisphere because flu season is pretty much over and other associated respiratory diseases is over also. So generally, if you have flu-like symptoms now, you probably have the coronavirus. And it's unclear if this, how much of the flattening the curve is due to the social distancing and how much of it is due to seasonal factors. And
by the way, social distancing is now 13 feet, according to the CDC, not 6 feet. So imagine that in your local store when you go to buy something. 13 feet now. Those little pieces of tape on the ground, not six, 13.
Yeah.
And it does hang in the air, we know for a fact, for at least an hour, if not 2-3 hours, depending on the circumstances and the size of the aerosolized particulate. They had a story about joggers. I've got a video up at the top of the homepage telling joggers, do not jog behind somebody in front of you. If you want to jog, jog with them to be safest. This is not good. And Trump is... He knows if he can't put America back on the job, he doesn't have a chance. He knows it. So he's apparently going to be forced into rolling the dice. No PPEs, no masks, and he's going to send America back to work.
Yeah, and so even if it is seasonal, it'll be back just in time for the fall campaign.
Football season.
It'll be very disruptive. Regardless, unless there's unless some of the antivirals end up working, or the vaccine's not going to be ready, but some of the drugs may there should be results this summer, so there may be some available treatment. I sent you the New England Journal article.
Yeah, I posted
compassion. It was on compassionate use. It didn't really have controls, but a couple of the points in the paper, they did get patients off of ventilators and ECMO machines. 3 out of 4 that were on ECMO machines got off, and something like, I think it was 58% of, or maybe it was 68% of, those on ventilators were they were no longer intubated. They came off the intubation. And that's a high percentage, because I think in New York they were saying only something like 14% of those intubated actually survive. So once they go on the ventilators, they have a very, very low chance of survival. And with this drug, it was over half came off the ventilators. So
well, that's it. It's a good story. It's right up there. It says compassionate.
Yeah.
You'll see the word compassionate. That's your key. Here's another issue. Now, we don't do a whole lot of politics here, except for the obvious politics. But former Governor Mike Huckabee said today, I admire him for standing up. He's the only one who said anything. We are shredding the Constitution. That's a quote. While enforcing quarantines. Things, he said, that should scare the living daylights out of us, end quote. And he's 100% correct. No one seems to be able to muster the courage to stand up against the orange man and say, hey, there's a constitution here. Remember? Nobody's saying that.
Well, he's saying that the president has absolute power. I mean, he just said it again today.
Yeah.
I mean, that's his position, that he's president. He can do whatever he wants. And so it's, it could get real, real messy, because Trump's going to be between a rock and a hard place. He's going to have, the economy's not going to be in good shape. A lot of people want to go back to work.
Hell, it's going to take a year or two at the minimum to get it put back together.
Out of work, right.
Yeah.
Right. And the virus isn't going anywhere. You know, whether there'll be a treatment for it soon, I don't know. But it's like, without a treatment, you know, the only thing you really got is social distancing. And that's, and once it comes off, it's going to be hard to put it back on. And, you know, if it goes on, it won't be on as well as it was initially.
No.
And
if people's fear will turn into resentment, and they'll start bucking it.
Right. And then the virus will just take off, because it'll probably be more virulent. It's got more time in humans. It's going to
learn more.
Yeah. It's already in both the northern and the southern hemisphere. So it's all over the place. So it's not that it's seasonal. Effect, it's going to really do much of anything. It might locally.
It did very well in Australia in the winter down there. No problem.
Right. And so that's why I say it's at such a high level that it's, if it goes down to half of what it would normally be, if it's at a lower level, that'll be. Half would be a level that you wouldn't notice it, but at this level, you would notice it. And it just seems that there's not enough immunity out there to really have a major effect on the virus, and social distancing will work.
How can there be immunity when less than 1% of the population here has allegedly been exposed or infected by it?
Right. And that's essentially what happens. It takes a while to get going in the spring, and it kind of fades in the spring, you know, in the summer, and then it comes back gangbusters in the fall, because it's kind of laying low, but it's not totally gone. So it's really all over the place, and then it can start at a much higher level once it starts to take off and infect people. And so you've got, you know, virus everywhere, and then all of a sudden, you know, it just starts growing exponentially, and then in no time, it's everywhere, and it's at high levels, and that's why the fall is usually worse than the initial bout in the spring. So that's why I say it's got a whole lot of bad scenarios. You know, I mean, you're talking about what Trump can and can't do. I mean, I wouldn't put it past him trying to say that, you know, we have to postpone the elections because there's too much virus around or something. And he can't have his rallies. So he shouldn't really have the elections if he can't have a rally. And plus the Democrats.
Well, that, you pegged it. These news conferences are all rallies. That's what they are. They're little mini rallies.
Yeah. Complete with video today.
I gotta go see that video. I've gotta go look at it. I'm gonna go look at it.
Yeah. I'm sure it's online. I mean, it wasn't that long. It was kind of, different governors thanking him for, giving them their ventilators or whatever. And, they basically say thank you to get another one. If they wanted to already even keep the ones they had, he'd come and confiscate them if they weren't praising him for, giving him stuff that he's supposed to. I mean, that's what the reserve is for. It's for those ventilators are for a pandemic. And I mean, you have the biggest pandemic since 1918, and he's saying, "Well, yeah, those are our ventilators," as Kushner would say. And
all right, here, hold on. I found the video. I got to hear this. Hold on.
Clips that we're just going to put up. We can turn the lights a little bit lower. I think you'll find them interesting, and then we'll answer some questions. I'll ask you some questions because you're so guilty, but forget it. But most importantly, we're going to get back onto the reason we're here, which is the success we're having. Okay? Please, you can put it on.
How worried should Americans be about coronavirus?
Coronavirus is not going to cause a major issue in the United States.
Well, we've asked them to accelerate whatever they're doing in terms of a vaccine.
We are cutting into what was not a White House coronavirus task force briefing. I am Ari Melber. Our special coverage continues. We are going to avoid airing any more of this White House briefing until it returns to what it was supposed to be, which was the coronavirus task force providing medical information. What we just saw, I want to be very clear with viewers, was a video the White House put out, which suggests they are spending their precious time right now making videos that defend the president's record and tenure rather than provide the much-needed emergency medical information that was promised.
So I've never seen a video like that played in this room.
I give you hundreds of clips just like that. We have them.
So this was produced by government employees, by people here at the White House, this campaign-style
video. I would use the word produced. All they did was took some clips and they just ran them for you. The press has not treated these incredible people who've done such a great job. They haven't treated them fairly. They're way off. We were way ahead of schedule.
The middle of March. Should you have closed it down earlier?
I closed down from China. Excuse me. I closed it down from China.
You bought yourself some time. You didn't use it to prepare hospitals. You didn't use it to ramp up testing.
You're so disgraceful. It's so disgraceful the way you said it. Look, I just went over it.
Or this ramp supposed to make people I just went over in it. An unprecedented crisis.
Nobody thought we should do it. And when I did it.
But what did you do with the time that you bought?
You know what we did?
The month of February. That,
you know what we did?
Gap.
What do you do?
The month of February.
What do you do when you have no case in the whole United States?
You
reported it. Zero cases, zero deaths on January 17th.
February.
I said in January.
Your video has a complete gap.
On January
30th. What did your administration do in February with the time that your travel ban botched?
A lot. And in fact, we'll give you a list. What we did, in fact, part of it was up there. We did a lot. Look.
We'll give you a list.
You're a fake.
There you go.
You know that? Your whole network, the way you cover it, is fake. Why did Biden apologize? Why did he write a letter of apology? No, that's very important. Why did the Democrats think that we really have done this right? The problem is the press doesn't cover it the way it should be. Go ahead. One more question, Steve. Go ahead.
He never did get around to what he did on February.
This is like a bad Hollywood movie.
He's got to send you a list.
Oh, I heard it. I will send you a list. Don't worry. Then he called. You're a fake. And your entire network is a fake. Wow.
And then he said, you're not even a network. And I said, well, what does the N stand for?
But anyway. Oh, Henry, I should have started a program with that. That's incredible. That is true.
Yeah, so,
if Hollywood tried to make an honest farce, a parody of a president, they could not do any better than that. They couldn't.
I know. And this is the conference that's supposed to give information on the pandemic. And all he's just kind of making excuses. And I kept saying, what'd you do in February? I'll send you a list. You know, like, he's got so many things that he did on February. He had to put on a list, and of course, he can't remember any of them. All he can talk about is ban and China. That was A, too late, and B, it was the wrong country.
That's all. This is astounding. Astounding. Honestly, I just saw something I can hardly believe I saw. I'm going to watch it again. I'll put it up at the top of headlines for any of you who want to see it. Oh, my. Thank you, Henry. Yeah. Talk to you tomorrow night.
Okay. I'll do it again tomorrow. Okay, take
care. Right.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Henry Nyman, Ph.D., one of the world's foremost virologists, who worked on SARS with a Chinese scientist 17 years ago, among other things. All right, we'll be back tomorrow night. Thanks for being here. Take care.